Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, your Boston Celtics are now the ninth seeded team in the Eastern Conference. Good news. Going to have 10 teams actually in the tournament. It's a play-in for the last four teams. But hey, you know, it could be a lot worse. They could be actually not even in a play-in game. So where did this thing all go wrong? And I think Wick kind of revealed where it all went wrong. Let me read you the quote again in the interview he did across the street. We had hoped Kyrie would stay forever and lead us all the way. He's on maybe the best team in the league right now, and so that's that. That change touched off a lot of stuff because when he left, we weren't able to maybe recruit free agents from the same way. And, you know, a bit of a domino effect, but it is what it is. We went for it with Kyrie. We had a good year with him. We tried hard, and then he moved on. So the plan was we get Kyrie, then we get an Anthony Davis or somebody else to play alongside. We got the two seasoned veterans. You're seeing what's going on in Brooklyn right now. It works in the NBA. Instead, we panicked. We had to go get somebody with the money we were losing for Kyrie, and we got Kemba Walker. And we sold it is, oh, we're going to change the whole chemistry of the locker room, and everybody's going to love each other.
Are these quotes still?
I love working for you. I'm not reading the quotes anymore, Lou.
I plan on resigning here next year.
Boom! Yeah, it's amazing to think.
But that's where it started, isn't it, guys? And Kemba's just not that player. He's another scorer.
I think what kind of is troubling to me is how desperate they were for him to stay and how such a big part of the plan he was. Like, that to me is, like, is troubling to me to know that dude. Listen, he's a good basketball player, but man, do you imagine how much they sucked up to him and how much they, because they needed him, how much they kissed his ass because they felt like he was a huge, and recruiting players is the key to me in that whole thing.
Yes.
Recruiting players. Yes. You already had two good guys. You kind of had them locked up, but you needed more great players, like, you know, guys under manageable contracts that you couldn't, that you didn't have to pay max dollars to.
Yeah. See, obviously, Kyrie, you get to the point where you say, okay, what's the plan? We already hit on Tatum. We already hit on Brown. We have an opportunity to take this third draft pick and get a guy like Kyrie instead of IT, which obviously was a good move because Isaiah Thomas is nothing since. So that's one of those moments where, like, your GM, you're in a position to kind of go all in, right, and just push the chips in. You had the money. You went out and got Gordon Hayward. But I actually think that opening night against Cleveland with Gordon Hayward blew out. I think that might have changed everything. Like, that might have, you know,
changed it for
this club.
For Kyrie?
No, for this team. I don't know. I don't know if he wanted to play.
And played, and he's playing at a high level now.
No, I'm talking about that year and then the following year when he finally came back. Like, that was another messed up year when he's trying to come back and he shouldn't have been in that starting lineup. Because I'm just saying, a healthy Gordon Hayward, okay, I think is a good Gordon Hayward. And ever since, it's been like injuries at left and right, but this is still an all-star caliber guy. I think everything went crazy there, too. Like, he missed the whole year. These two kids developed. There's no question about it. But if Gordon Hayward is healthy and an all-star, and Jason and Kyrie Irving is there as well, I don't know. Maybe Now you have that luxury because you have a healthy Gordon Hayward, a playmaker, averaging 20 points a game. But maybe that would have been a play, too. It could have been a different direction you could have gone to get that missing piece. You know, I mean, if Gordon Hayward was healthy, you know, and you had Kyrie, and you saw what Tatum become, would you mind giving up Jaylen Brown for an Anthony Davis? You know, would you have mind giving up Jaylen Brown for another piece? As, you know what I mean? And, who knows where it would have gone from there?
Had
maybe Kyrie
wouldn't
have lost his ever-loving mind because he's playing with two kids.
Right.
Maybe just one of them would have been okay.
Yeah, but I think that's a big part of it, that those guys were playing with kids. And other than Kyrie, who had that alpha dog personality, Gordon Hayward certainly didn't. These kids don't. And you ended up, as I said, losing guys. And you didn't really, you weren't able to trade them away and get equal value in return. So they lost Al, mainly because Al wanted to go on his own. They wanted to keep Al because they wanted to have that money to be able to swap it with another player of that same salary. They were unable to do it. And they're stuck now because nobody's going to do that for Kemba Walker. Nobody. So Tyler's put together a bunch of possible trades and has seen a bunch of them out there. So let's just look at Atlanta. How do you fix this? Now, I don't think Danny's going to be able to fix it by the trading deadline. He's already told everybody, if we make a trade by the trading deadline, we're going to do it right up at the trading deadline. It's the only way we're going to be able to do it because nobody wants to do a good deal with you right now. They want to take you hostage, right? So what do? Do you rent John Collins? And let me ask you, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, you guys tell me what package you would want out of these players, because they've already said they want a high lottery pick for John Collins, who, by the way, wants 4 years and $100 million, whatever team he goes to. Which assets would you give up that Atlanta would really like? Nesmith, Langford, Pritchard, Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters. I hear
Robert Williams.
I hear silence.
Okay, here's the thing.
Robert Williams, Grant Williams.
Daniel Price.
Who else do you want?
A first-round draft pick at what, number 17? What value does that have?
Like, I feel like the whole in-season trades, like, when was the last time the Celtics pulled off an in-season trade?
They did one.
Burke?
Who was that?
I want to say it was Isaiah Thomas. And it was like
they got Isaiah Thomas. They flipped Marcus Thornton.
Yeah, it was like it was a while ago. So then you sit there and go, okay, that's the last time they did an in-season trade. And I don't think they thought Isaiah Thomas would be Isaiah Thomas, that whole King of the Fourth thing. And then you sit there and go, okay, who's sellers and who's buyers? Are the Celtics sellers or buyers? Because if they're buyers, okay, we have a different conversation. If you think they're sellers, then I'll tell you that you should include. And if they're buyers, who in the league is selling?
How many teams are selling? Most of them are buying right now because there are 10 teams deep in each conference into the playoffs. But the point is that you can give up all of these guys. If I'm Atlanta, I don't care about any of these guys. I can get a better deal. And if you throw Marcus Smart in as part of the deal, based on what we've seen over the last 3 weeks, does anybody feel comfortable giving up Marcus Smart and taking on a John Collins who has to find a way? You're renting him. Find a way of fitting in? No, you're not a contender.
That's the problem, that's what it was. The Athletics Hawks, the writer, Chris Kirshner, he covers the team. And he's talking about this. And he's the one that put out the interest in Collins and Rondo for Smart. And I agree. Collins, we had this debate before, that, and Tyler was kind of filling me in. But like, I look at a guy like John Collins and think, man, you know, give me the big with these guys. You know, and we know he's 4-5, whatever you want to call him. But you can't even extend him. It would just be a pure rental, right?
Well, he's a restricted free agent, but the problem is he's looking for 4 years and $100 million.
And you're hard capped. Why?
You're hard capped.
Why?
Because of the deal you've already done. With taking back the trade exception.
Or Tristan Thompson.
The Tristan Thompson mid-level trade exception.
Right.
That's the reason why you're cap capped.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, when you look at Danny Ainge, like, I don't know, I like to talk to another GM to sit there and say, if you were Danny Ainge, would you have brought Tristan Thompson here to hard cap yourself to possibly not be able to get your team better in the future if your owners are willing to go in the luxury tax? And they probably say, no, that ain't worth it.
You're $15.5 million right now below the luxury tax. So if you add another player and use the trade exception and use $19.9 million, $4.5 million of that will be doubled up to the luxury tax.
You don't even need the trade exception for that deal.
You do not. I do not, but you could use the 4.8, I think. to make that deal, make that, because he's making nothing right now. He's $2.8 million or something like that. But
yeah, and if you're dealing smart, so you know, you don't even need it in that deal.
But you have to give him big money, $25 million a year. He wants $4 and $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that deal works. And if you're the Celtics, does anybody really believe adding John Collins and giving up Marcus Smart is going to bring you closer to a championship this year? And you don't know what next year holds with John Collins? I'm not doing that deal. I'm waiting until the offseason to use the trade.
If you could bring John Collins back next year, if you could sign him, find a way to make that happen, I think you can find another Marcus Smart. And I like Marcus Smart. I think he's extremely valuable. But I think you could find another gritty defender.
Ooh.
Oof, they're everywhere.
I think he's cheap. No, they're not everywhere. He's cheap money for what you get for Marcus Smart. I'm not sure you can find another Marcus Smart for cheap money.
I'm saying if you replace Marcus Smart and you replace, Daniel Tice or Tristan Thompson for John Collins, I think you come out on the plus side.
Yeah, see, I would wait until the offseason when teams, as Christian was just saying, teams aren't trying to make the playoffs.
Awesome.
Teams are looking to.
So when do I apologize to Danny Ainge for using the trade exception anyways? Because yeah. I remember when that Lou, you got a record-breaking trade exception, $28.5 million that he can use.
But if he doesn't?
You better apologize to Danny Ainge. It looks like he got him. He got one over on everybody.
If he doesn't use it in the offseason, you're right.
How about using it to replace Gordon Hayward for this basketball team to give him a freaking chance?
All right,
you're just going to sit on a $28.5 million trade exception and just punt on the season? Did I miss the memo that this year we were just punting on the season?
I'm punting on the season.
I mean, did you miss it earlier in the year?
Hold on. I heard somebody all year long tell me with the Patriots they need to punt on the season. They need to lose games. That's what you were telling me.
The
Celtics are nowhere close to being a contender right now. And one player, John Collins, giving up a Marcus Smart is not going to make you a better team. You're not going anywhere.
So the reason why this team sucks is because Danny Ainge hasn't replaced Gordon Hayward.
Agreed.
Okay, so we thought that he was going to do it at some point this year. Now he's going. Now he can sit back and say, well, now, you know what? Actually, the offseason is probably the best time to do it. Okay, so I don't know. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that you were punting on the season. I don't think Celtics fans before the year started that said you're an idiot for saying they're a fourth or fifth seed because they're a conference final team, and that's just who they are. They're very talented. They have two great players. This is a very good basketball. I didn't realize we were punting on the season. I didn't think Danny Ainge was going to just give up and then just push it forward. Just keep pushing it forward. Don't worry, we'll use it in the offseason. All right, let's see you actually freaking use it, because what you did was you wasted 1 year of two very good young players. Wasted an entire year. So I'm going to hold up before I apologize from killing this guy until he uses it. Because as of right now, it's been useless.
I'm not interested in a rent-a-player for this team, because this team is not good enough to win. I'm wasting my time. I'm going to win three more games, maybe. It's not worth it. I would be shocked if Danny Ainge does a major trade at that trading deadline. Jeff Goodman, again, on with Dale and Keith earlier today. He thinks this team is worthy of a trade deadline investment.
They're 100% worthy of trade deadline. You can't sit tight on this. Like, to me, you wait a month. The trade deadline's right about a month from now. You wait till they come back from All-Star break. You give it a couple weeks, but I think you make a move. You know, the problem is, what major move can you make with this team? You're not trading Tatum. I'm not. You're probably not trading Jaylen Brown, although I might. I mean, I know people think I'm crazy, but I might trade him because, man, his value is probably never going to get higher than it is right now.
Would you do that? Would you trade Jaylen Brown? Because that might make some sense.
Nope.
Instead of having two of the young kids, you go out, trade Jaylen Brown, and you get maybe a veteran.
See, that seems more likely to happen. Because if you think these two guys are basically the same, all those subtle differences in their game, or if you think, you know, they both have the same amount of upside, especially what Jaylen's done this year, becoming an all-star. Now he's equal to Tatum. You look at the points, they're about equal. Then you would sit there and say, listen, one of them can go. One of them can go. But then what do you want from it? Do you want draft picks? Do you want players? Or do you want both?
Oh, no, you have to get players. You have to get veteran players. You have to speed up the process. That's what you have to do. I mean, a lot of people laughed, and I did as well, when we were talking about the Celtics being interested in James Harden. Readdress that. That might have made sense.
No, it would have made. Listen, then they could both be off the ball.
Yes.
But he went to Brooklyn.
With yeah, might have made all the sense players. In the world, and you're seeing it right now because Harden's willing to give up, you know, part of his game.
No. Because Harden would have come here after 2 years and say, "Why the hell did you trade for me? Whatever. I'm here for 2 years and I'm out." The only reason he's motivated right now is because he's playing with Kyrie and Durant. What's going to motivate him here? Playing with who? Tatum? That would have motivated him?
Yeah, I'm not sure he'd want to come here. I think we knew that he wanted to go to Brooklyn. I'm just saying if you look at the player and the player wanted to come here, it would have made sense.
See, who am I going to pass it to? Kyrie, Durant, Joe Harris. Oh, who am I going to pass it to? Ogilvy, Javonte Green, Kemba.
Well, no, he would be passing it along to Tatum. Here's Nevin in New Bedford.
All he's got.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I don't think the problem is Brad Stevens. I mean, yeah, he needs to kind of get more vocal with the guys. You know, Tatum and Brown, you know, the way they've been kind of sloshing around, you know, I would look at him and be like, you know, there's plenty of guys on this bench that can take your minutes right now if you want to do that. So, I mean, but for this whole trade exception thing, I agree with, you know, I agree waiting until the offseason, maybe try to get like a Aaron Gordon along with like a Markelle Fultz or something, or maybe go to New Orleans and see what you can get for Steven Adams. I mean, you need a big man and you need to replace that Gordon Hayward, like we were saying. I mean, you definitely need that. But to give up one of the two, I'd probably give up Brown more than Tatum right now.
I'd give up either one.
Yeah, and I'm not getting Steven Adams. He doesn't fit what you're doing at all. I mean, he's big, he's powerful, but you need more of a stretch at that big position. So we'll throw it out there. Should they consider breaking up these two, Tatum and Brown, and dealing Brown away? They might have to look at this and say, It won't work. We can't have these two guys going forward. We can't go out and get those other veterans without giving up one of these two guys. 617-779-7937. Big deal or no big deal coming up at 4:30.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Lou is on Twitter, at Lou Merlone.
I have so many gifts, personally, that in order to come in and do radio with you two, I have to dumb it down.
Back to OMF on WEEI.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team looks like right now, it's balancing playing unconfidently and unsure with the fact that we've had a couple that slipped away. And so the only way I know to get that back is to dive on the floor, is to take charges, fight for every single possession. And that's our charge.
That's Brad Stevens. Let me ask you guys to put on your athlete's caps.
I would die for you.
Your athlete's caps when you played professional sports. So here we have two young players, albeit very talented, very skilled. But Brad is admitting lack of confidence is an issue right now. It happens to young players. We know that. Yet they're the most important players on this team. So if they don't have a bunch of these loud veterans that are going to wake them up and get them to understand what's going on, they don't have a Kevin Garnett type of player who can be a mentor to get these guys to sit there and explain to them what they need to do in their career right now. Coaches are not good at that. We all know that. How do you resolve the problem? How do they suddenly gain this confidence back? And I'm asking you guys from experience, having those type of players on your team.
Well, first off, I disagree. Coaches don't do that. I think some coaches do that. I think some coaches that, you know, and sometimes you're with, like for me, a coach that played the game, you know what I mean? And I know it's not always the case
this
with NBA coaches, but, yeah. You know, they could talk you through those struggles. To me, that's what a good coach does.
So it's on Brad.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you'd like to have, it always means more when it comes from a teammate. So you'd like to have a guy like that. You'd like to see Tristan Thompson, who's been here a while now. I mean, Jeff Teague, he's tough to be a leader when a guy never plays.
Yeah.
You know, and Tristan Thompson, I think it was like a week ago, and he's talking about how he needed to start getting on guys. And I was like, man. You know, so he's coming here to try to get comfortable. It's the first time he's changed organizations.
And he's
so
not is he starting to get doing that.
More comfortable now, where hopefully, you know, one of the reasons why we like bringing him in, because he was a veteran, right? And he could add a little something to this team. But he's been busy the first month and a half trying to settle in. And he really hasn't been vocal. So I think if it comes from a teammate, it's good, but it's probably better. But I think a coach could definitely help you out with that stuff. Been through the experiences.
Yeah, but I would say also that okay, so the coach sends the message, but it really needs to be carried out by the soldiers with boots on the ground. Like, those guys need to set the example. They need to carry it out. They need to show resiliency. They need to show toughness. He's asking for people to dive on the floor.
But who's
take charges? Okay, let's start with Jaylen Brown. Take a charge, Jason. It has to start with them. So Peyton Pritchard diving, flaying all over the place.
He's doing it.
So what? But he's a rookie,
right?
So I mean, yes, Tristan Thompson, maybe Tice does the best he can. The guys who have to work the hardest and prove it every single day are always your best players. Always. Like, if the best players don't give a crap, why should I? Especially in a team like this with and I hate using it, without the main guy. Because I guarantee you, like, if Marcus Smart is out there, there would be probably a little bit more reckless, okay?
I agree.
You know, and unpredictable.
Yep. I agree.
But it's still, listen, at least you're being led by somebody. Yeah, but he's crazy, but at least he's our guy.
Listen, the only thing that scares me about this whole Marcus Smart and expecting it to cure itself once he comes back. He's been with the team. He's having those conversations. We're seeing them during timeouts. He is actually going one-on-one with the two star players.
He got a technical last night.
He got a technical.
I didn't even know
what
happened.
Yes.
As I heard the whistle, they stopped. They got a free throw. And, you know, I don't know. Mike and Scal, I know they're not there, which makes it really, really hard.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
So if you're not dressed and you get a technical foul, if you get a second one, do they make you leave the arena?
That's a good question. Like, probably, I would think, right?
My suggestion would be, if you're not dressed and you get one technical foul, they should make you leave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You get a technical foul, you're
not
even
dressed. What are you doing? Yeah.
Like, but that's, go back to the locker room.
But that's what concerns me, is that he's been around. He hasn't left this team. He's been around them. And so you're asking for his leadership in that capacity, and I'm not sure they're listening to him right now. That would worry me. Here's Scott Newton next up here on EEI. Hi, Scott.
Gentlemen, first of all, hey.
Yeah.
Are you friendly with Bill Belichick or Danny Ainge?
Who are you asking?
What'd you say?
I'm asking Glenn, are you friendly with Bill Belichick or Danny Ainge?
Friendly in what, friendly in what respect? In a business sense?
He invites you and your wife. Okay. No. All right. Let's move on then. Next. So let me ask you a question, Glenn. Why are we in this situation with the Boston Celtics? Why?
I think we've given you all the reasons here. You have a new
one? I know this is rhetorical. My point to you is we're here because of Danny's done a horrible job the last 3 years drafting and free agent wise. Terrible job.
Great.
He's been here for 18 years. Is he the longest tenured GM in the NBA?
He's been here since 03. Right.
Is he the longest tenured NBA GM?
He might be, Scott. We don't know. We could check it out during the break.
Well, my point,
he's one of them.
Listen. Okay, well, the last 3 or 4 years, he's done a pretty poor job with this team. And the coach, by the way, can't coach in the playoffs. During the regular season, that's a good job.
But yeah, but hold on one second. Hold on 1 second, Scott. I'm not telling you that he's done a good job in going in and adding personnel. We've already talked about it. They lost 3 players who walked on the team. You have no control over that. Now, if you're looking for draft picks, if we're looking for Grant Williams, he was drafted 22nd. If we're going to do the draft all over again, he probably would be drafted somewhere in that vicinity, maybe even slightly higher. The draft picks have not been the issue because he's just not drafting high enough.
The NBA, hold on. There are other teams in the NBA that draft late in the first round, in the second round, and guess they find players. So stop giving me that excuse. You can't.
Yeah,
find
but
players
it's far and few between. It isn't. It's far and few between. It's not the norm. It's not the norm.
It's a bunch of bull, Glenn.
It is not the norm.
Stop with that.
Okay, I'll stop with it. But it's not the norm.
Hold on, Glenn. So let me ask you another question. So why didn't he do a better job bringing the players in the first place? Okay, that's a GM. That's his job, is to have vision. Okay, he had poor vision. First of all, Gordon Hayward never fit with this team in the first place. Gordon is a starter, and we already have 2 players that play almost the same position in Jalen and
Tatum. So you wouldn't have gone out and gotten you wouldn't have gotten Gordon Hayward.
That wasn't a bad move. Gordon Hayward got hurt. That was the bad
understand
move.
Understand it. You wouldn't have gotten Gordon Hayward. You had an opportunity to get a free agent that year, and you got one of the top free agents who was available out there in an organization that was having difficulty getting free agents to come here. I don't think that was an issue.
I don't really get on Danny's drafts, right? I mean, you know, he hit on Jalen, he hit on Tatum.
When you drafted high, he's been good.
That's a home run. And the other guys, Grant Williams, Robert Williams, Pritchard, Neesmith's been hurt. The complaint I would have is just every year going to the draft, he's got 4.
Yes.
And he's either going to, you know, package up a couple and move up, or he's going to, you know, package up their first round pick with this player, and they're going to go out and get this veteran. Like, to me, you know, I would have liked to have seen more of that. I don't want to give up a first round pick. That's a lot to ask. Oh, okay, whatever. I don't care what you give up. Let's start focusing on what you get in return and how that makes you a better basketball team. And then once you give up that 14th pick or the 20th pick or whatever, you know, if he works for the other team, God bless you. Because the guy I got for him worked for us. And that's all that matters. So the complaint isn't exactly like who he's drafted. It's a crapshoot. It's more of having 4 and not improving your team and then looking at it and saying, all 9 of the guys you've drafted the last 3 years, that's your bench. That can't happen.
So hold on, Lou. I not only agree with you, but I think I've been saying this over the last 5 years. I was the one that wanted to give up that 3rd pick overall in the draft to get somebody like Paul George, okay? I was willing to do all of that because in the NBA, it's about winning right now. Because if you don't win right now, and you've seen it in Brooklyn, you can trade all your old players to Brooklyn, get all their young draft picks, and then Brooklyn can restock with veteran players, and they can exceed you in the pecking order, which they have already done. I wanted to get those players. I wanted Kyrie because I wanted to add Anthony Davis. That's how you win in the NBA. I don't like the way Danny's doing it. I don't like this patience of going with young kids. And you're right. I don't like drafting 5 kids and hoping that 2 of them become players. It's a waste of time. I want to win now. I don't want to sit around and wait. And what have they done? They've gone with the young root. And does anybody think that they're close to winning a championship right now?
No, they're rebuilding.
Right. That's the problem. David's in a car. David.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So here's my thing, why I believe Glenn and everybody. But Glenn, it seems like, you know, because of your old days with the Celtics, I understand it's kind of tough to break away. But this is why I believe he needs to start from the top to blame. Just like a business, a company, when you have an issue, you don't go out and replace all the employees, because you do have good employees. But unfortunately, somewhere along the line, you have somebody in management, rather it's a CEO, a regular manager, who cannot get those employees to perform better. And that is the issues that the Celtics have going on right now. Between Danny and Brad, okay, they cannot get these players to the promised land. Let's call it that. Okay. At the same time, I believe these young guys are getting a little too confident, a little too cocky, like you mentioned, Lou, about them, because they went to the playoffs, they went to the semifinals, whatever, last year. They think they're untouchable, and maybe right now there's something going on that they're not respecting Brad the way they should. They're not, Brad is not getting them to do what needs to be done. So if that's the case, you have two choices. Either you replace, either you trade one of those guys, you sit them down to teach them a lesson, even though you're going to lose, because sometimes you need to do that to professional athletes, or you need to bring in another man, another coach, or another GM. So one of those has to happen.
All right. He's all over the place.
I know.
You know. It's just like, okay, we all agree that there's a problem, and it's multi-layered. And nobody's denying that the problem doesn't stem from the top. It certainly does. I'm just saying there's no way I think Wick Grosbeck is going to make changes right now with Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens. And it's going to piss off a lot of people, but I think we're going to see these guys around at least for the next couple of years. There's more quarterback news. More quarterback news. Could there be an opening for a quarterback for your New England Patriots? It's coming up next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. No, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
All right, we're back to our daily life. It's going to be like this till the end of April. Who will be the quarterback of the New England Patriots? And today we got some interesting news on numerous fronts when it comes to quarterback. So what the hell does it all mean for the Patriots? I saw this earlier this morning. Mike Giardi was tweeting out through a source, somebody close to Deshaun Watson, that Watson would not play for Houston and that he was going to hold out. This, just in the last few minutes, from Dan Graziano, per sources, Texas quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley. Remember David Culley?
Yes.
Last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded, and he told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans again. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in.
That's hardball.
I ain't David Culley. Oh, man, I finally get to become a head coach, and here comes my star quarterback. I ain't never going to play for you.
Deshaun Watson's a Houston Texan.
Oh, that's
quarterback of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, maybe
not.
Yeah.
That's all that I was concerned about, and that's all I knew. And whatever was been said about what he wanted to do or he didn't want to do, all I know is this. having been in this business this long, you know, he is a Houston Texan. Hmm.
Here's David Culley's problem. Listen to Jack Easterby. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, we get it in there.
Why don't you pray before you talk?
Exactly.
I mean, there has to be. They got like, when's the draft? End of April?
Yes. Last weekend in April.
It's got to be figured out by then. I mean, it's got absolutely 100%. Like, this isn't something that, like, I'm prepared to hold out. Like, you can't wait to see if he's prepared to hold out in August, can you?
Or you're playing Russian roulette then.
July.
Playing chicken.
You know,
well, the problem you have, Lou, is what assets do you have? The assets will be next year's draft. That won't do Houston any good, right? And you're not getting any players right now. And is his value devalued in that you know he's holding out, so he's not going to play for Houston? Houston can no longer sit there and say, we're going to keep him. He's going to play for us. No, he's not.
No, and it's just that the situations are pretty good right now with some teams around the league. I mean, you know, who knows what could happen here in the future. More trades could happen. And next year's class, there could be a quarterback needy team that's got two first-round picks. But, you know, if you get past the draft and all of a sudden, you know, he holds out and you call it Miami and you're like, yeah, I'm interested, but, you know, I no longer have three. I no longer have 18. I no longer, you know what I mean? I no longer have 32. Like, I don't have as many draft picks as I was able to give you 2 months ago.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you have that news, which is just released, and you also have Deshaun Watson himself tweeting out, loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it. I say it like that because the word ever, every single letter is capitalized.
Oh, my God.
To me, this is going to be interesting because Nick Caserio, like, so you're basically in a battle of wits right now.
Good luck.
You're playing an adult chicken, and it would behoove Deshaun Watson to get traded before the draft. Because then if he doesn't, then it's okay, I really am going to have to hold out. They are going to try to take some of my money back. They're not going to like me anymore. They're not going to play nice anymore. Because the Texans own his rights. Well, so I don't want to play for you anymore. Okay, well, then you're not playing for anybody.
So I saw that tweet as well. Can't the Houston Texans come back and say, yeah, Deshaun, loyalty is everything?
Well, of course they could.
We turned around last year and paid you how much?
Yeah.
And now you want to leave?
Yeah.
Like, what happened to your tweet?
Contract I thought loyalty
yet, right? Was everything.
Oh, sorry. So you know, the owner of the team said he was going to include you in all this off-season negotiation. You're going to be a big part of all the
decisions. Well, don't say loyalty then. Just be like, you know, trust.
Trust.
Is better. Everything. Better. That'd be a better word for him in this situation. Trust.
Business. It's business.
Is everything. But when you come out after just signing and being like the second highest paid quarterback in the history of the sport less than a year ago, and that team had loyalty in you to kind of continue to move forward, and now you're looking to bail, and now you just want out because you don't like the situation after making you the second highest paid quarterback in the league, and you're tweeting about loyalty? It's kind of ass backwards,
well, see,
isn't it?
Really, the discussion that he has to have is not with David Culley. That discussion needs to be with Caserio.
Yeah,
and the reason I'm in this position today is because I knew he's going to be a Houston Texan.
No, see, because
he might want to have it with Culley, the owner as well.
Culley has no power on who stays and who goes. Zero. It's Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair. And it's really, to be honest with you, it's really Nick Caserio. That's his job. He wanted full title. He wanted all that power.
Good luck,
now he's
Nick.
Got it.
Good
so,
luck.
Okay, look at what Bill has done in the past, because that's where he is going to draw his inspiration. He is going to treat Deshaun Watson just like Bill Belichick treated every other guy that tried to hold out for more money, that threatened him, that tried to hold the team hostage. Go look at the history of the New England Patriots, because he was part of all those negotiations. I mean, the guy's been there forever.
There's a difference.
What is the difference?
The difference
this is what
Bill,
he knows.
The difference is Bill Belichick has a resume, and people believe that Belichick can correct the situation. Nick Caserio has none. Jack Easterby has none. The owner has none. The fans in Houston are all pissed off about this. And the team is going to suck again this year with Deshaun Watson or without. They won 4 games with Deshaun Watson last year. They no longer have J.J. Watt. They have let go of 2 other defensive players.
I'm going to go on record on this, and I'm going to say he's going to lose this battle.
Who is?
Deshaun Watson is going to lose this battle. I'm going to go on record same, because you say, okay, Bill has a resume. Okay, great, but I think that has nothing to do. I don't think you need a resume. What you start doing day one is you start building a resume if you're a GM. You let all these other agents know. You let all these other teams know what you're willing to do and what you will not do. I'm not negotiating with terrorists. And that's basically what Deshaun Watson is,
Glenn. Well, I think that's what quarterbacks have become. They're like NBA players. And they're going to now demand that they control the situation. And we brought this up a couple weeks ago. Tom Brady was able to demand what he wanted to do.
Don't use him as an example.
It is an example. He's a free agent. He is the front runner. He's the guy who started all of this.
No, he isn't.
But it's a different situation. He was a free agent. Everybody courted him. Maybe they gave him a few things to keep him happy, that type of thing. But he was a free agent.
But you're giving power. There's power right now. These quarterbacks are looking at it saying,
Tom Brady was right.
Why should I stick with a sucky team? And I agree. He was a free agent. It was a different set of circumstances.
Use Carson Wentz.
But this is going to be he wanted out too. And he got his way. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm sitting there going, I'm going to do the same thing Carson Wentz did. I got, he pissed off Doug Peterson to the point where they fired Doug Peterson, and then he kept on still being pissed off after the coach was fired.
To the
point where they had to get rid of him.
There's more than just Jamal Adams. Who's the other guy, Tyler?
Jalen Ramsey.
Best friend of Deshaun Watson. Okay, so yes, you can work it. You can get out of a contract. Tom Brady is not a good example. Carson Wentz, Jalen Ramsey, Jamal Adams. I would also say Matthew Stafford to an extent.
Detroit agreed with him, but they were both on the same page. Here's the problem you have in Houston, though. You've got nothing in that organization. So if Deshaun Watson holds out,
you got a quarterback.
But he's going to hold out. If he holds out, then there's no way you move the organization forward. You got a first-year general manager who's got to sit there and say, you know what? I got to convince the owner that the only way out of this is to start all over again. We don't have a good team and good personnel to begin with, but Deshaun Watson might give us a boatload of assets that at least we can reset all of this.
So maybe
we can move up in the draft this year and we can get one of those young quarterbacks and start all over again.
Okay, so Diana Rossini is saying that Houston is basically, they're not even taking calls on Deshaun Watson. Right. Here's what I would do. Okay, maybe I'm back channeling. I would at least try to figure out what I could get for him. Because if I realize I can get, I'm just using this, some absurd amount of draft picks and players, kind of like the Peter King scenario we were talking about, where they get all these draft picks and all these players, then I'm like, all right, I better get a king's ransom. But if I find out after doing some work that I'm only going to get two first-round picks, I'm not doing it. It better be so unbelievably worth it where somebody hands me an envelope and it's an offer I can't refuse, Lou. That's the type of offer that I'm looking for. And I don't mean your brains on the contract.
That was a Godfather reference, right? That was a little Italian thing. Well, let me give you the next guy, Russell Wilson. So the Athletic's got a whole piece about long piece about how he stormed out of a meeting last season before the Thursday night game against Arizona. He met with the coaches for some time. Wilson had sought, even pushed for his own influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. Oh, this sounds interesting. Didn't that happen in New England? In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed. Multiple sources told The Athletic, another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him in the same way he saw himself as a player. He stormed out of the room. And now we get this from Adam Schefter today. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, his agent Mark Rogers told ESPN. But isn't this interesting? Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, the Saints, and the Raiders, and the Bears. So if you don't want to be traded, you don't sit there and give a list of teams in which you want to go to.
I saw in the Bleacher Report, actually, somebody there tweeted out per NFL, well, I forget who it was, but the Jets and the Dolphins are on that list as well. So there was like six teams now that we're hearing about.
He wants out. He's just not doing what Deshaun Watson is.
I thought it was interesting before the game, right? And because we've talked about, Chris, you're talking about personnel sitting in there unless you're willing to watch film. But, you know, he's in there, according to this quote, this story in Athletic, a Thursday night game against Arizona. He's meeting with the coaches and going over scheme and personnel, like on the field. And as the source basically said, his suggestions were dismissed. That would piss you off. Right?
Yeah, no, that would...
I mean, you're Russell Wilson, for God's sakes.
That's not me saying, hey, draft this guy, trade for this guy. That's saying, listen, I'm a pretty accomplished football player.
What plays do you like? Probably, let's put him in. What plays don't you like?
Yeah, and I could also say I could probably be an offensive coordinator because the quarterback position alone, you know more than anybody. And you know what works, and you know game management. Hell, you got to know when to call timeout and all that other stuff. I would say, would be a problem. And in my opinion, it's only going to get worse for him. They are going back to the way that Pete Carroll likes to play football, which is offensive game management and defense. Yeah, running the football, and we are managing this game. I want to build a defense. That's why he went and used two first-round picks on Jamal Adams, safety.
Yes.
Come on. Like, yep. They don't want to let
Russ
cook.
He's trying to find Earl Thomas again.
They don't want to let Russ cook. They want to control the tempo, control the clock, and they want to win on defense and special teams. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want – look at DK Metcalf. Look at these tight ends. Look at these receivers. They have a bunch of studs. They don't want to do it. So I would say if I'm a betting man, I would put money on Russell Wilson leaving than I would Deshaun Watson. The Deshaun Watson situation is going to be contentious. That's going to be nasty. That's going to be cutting off your nose to spite your face. We committed to you, and now you just don't like it. Yeah. That, to me, is going to get ugly.
So when you read this piece and you hear some of the stuff, it sounds to me like they've been married too long, and now there's a real split here. I mean,
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're very familiar. It talks about the Seahawks were prepared to draft Patrick Mahomes the year he came out and maybe move on from Russell Wilson at that point. This one doesn't sound good, but I throw this out because if you're a team like the San Francisco 49ers and you're looking to upgrade a quarterback, which means another quarterback could fall in the lap of your New England Patriots, or you're the Dolphins, as you had mentioned, Lou, added into one of the,
yeah, I would
the
take,
teams there.
I would take San Fran out. If New England had Russell Wilson, would they trade him to the Jets?
No, I don't think Russell Wilson would go there.
If you're going to trade Russell Wilson, you're going to trade him to San Fran?
No. I just said that, but if I'm Houston, I might trade him, and I'm saying that if you get two established quarterbacks, top five quarterbacks in the league that are out there, those teams that are looking to move up, is an opening for the Patriots, and of course we mentioned the Dolphins being an opening only because of where they are in the draft this year. But here's another one that might be available, and that's Marcus Mariota. So according to numerous reporters out there now, it looks like the Raiders might just cut him. And the reason they're cutting him is they're trying to trade him. He's the backup quarterback behind Derek Carr, making $10 million. But here's the issue. The issue is that he's got incentives that could take that up over $20 million. Yeah. And if you're a team that's taking on Marcus Mariota, you're not taking him on as the backup quarterback at $10 million. You're taking him on because you think he can start for you. And if he gets enough games under his belt, he's going to make $20 million. And so he has totally different value. There's the guy that could be in the open market.
Yeah, and I think that that relationship, that John Gruden-Carr relationship, I think is better. I do. I think they're initially that relationship was odd. I don't think Gruden really liked him.
Mariota in the first place, right?
So I think that they ended up – and listen, the guy's got all sorts of records. He just doesn't have any postseason attempts, and I think they're on their way there. So I would say Mariota is a guy that they would just cut bait with altogether and find another adequate backup, a cheaper backup.
Well,
I feel like they proved their point already. It's like, hey, we want to scare you. We want to force the issue. We want to make things better. So now, we don't need to do that anymore. We like each other now. We trust each other now. So let's go win games now. So Mariota is the guy that I think would probably be gone. But going back to Russell Wilson, when the teams that showed up, the Dallas Cowboys popped up to me just based on their situation with Dak Prescott, things that I heard about what the Cowboys thought of Dak Prescott and his need and desire to get overpaid, like $35 million a year, something crazy like that. I don't know, man. I can see a similar kind of 3-4 team trade where Russell Wilson would end up in a place like Dallas. Now, listen, all these other trades – with Deshaun Watson, okay, on paper they could work, whether somebody has the appetite for it.
So could Dallas?
They don't want to pay him that much money. Maybe
especially coming off the injury, you don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season, and you're going to give him a brand new contract with that uncertainty. What about if you franchise tag Prescott and then trade him away?
Well, then it's Seattle's problem.
That's right. But suppose he wants to go to Seattle. Maybe.
I think what he wants is that big time contract, and maybe it's a different situation when he's negotiating with another team. I think the Jerry Jones situation is interesting, you know. But I just don't think Dak Prescott is worth, you know, should be paid the highest amongst anyone in the NFL.
He's the next one up.
Yeah,
and because of that, he might be.
It's all timing.
But like, I mean, if you're
Patrick
Seattle,
Mahomes type money,
if you're Seattle and you're moving on from Russell Wilson. You're going to bring in Dak Prescott? And like, if you're Seattle, you've got some holes on your team. If you're Pete Carroll and you sit up there and say, we got to get back to defense, we got to get back to run the football. My defense wasn't good. I made some additions. I can make it better. So you're going to trade away Russell Wilson and bring in a quarterback that's more expensive?
No, I don't think it would, but maybe
to even improve your team even more so?
Maybe you could trade him to Dallas, do something else with Dak Prescott. Because I don't think
Seattle needs... See, I could see if they move Russell Wilson, I could see Mariota going there for not much.
That's an option.
You know what? We're going to run the ball. We're going to play defense.
Yeah.
Be an active quarterback. Okay, this is you know, maybe he doesn't just looks at Russell Wilson and says, yeah, well, you know what? Actually, for that kind of cash, you know, I'd rather downgrade and be able to improve my defense, run the ball better, get back to the philosophy I want.
Yeah, but even that, so if you think the relationship, hey, listen, we're just tired of being around each other. We still, for the most part, like each other, but we just want something else different for our lives.
My takeaway from like the six teams that Russell Wilson doesn't want to be traded to.
What are we going to walk about?
That Russell Wilson doesn't want to be traded to, whatever. Or if I am traded, these are the teams. You're not named in any of these teams, any of these guys.
Who, the Patriots?
Yeah, Stafford doesn't want any part of it.
Nope.
Like, I don't think Deshaun Watson's like jumping around. We keep like, the connection with Casario and everybody else, but
Mariota is your best shot, I would say.
Dak Prescott's not mentioned in New England, but not that he's even talking about it. But Russell Wilson isn't talking to New England. Why not?
Well, because he's not interested, because he knows that they're not a winning team right now. I mean, a year from now, he would feel differently, but he's the greatest coach of all time again. Yeah, but he doesn't have the personnel. To when they don't have the receivers right now. If you're looking at the offensive depth chart, if you're a quarterback, why would you come here? Mariota may not have a choice. And as far as Dak Prescott, he's not coming to New England if he wants to be the highest paid quarterback on the board. We know that's not happening here in New England, right?
Yeah, I know. But the point is that people are like, I still think New England's a destination. I'm still waiting for someone to actually say they'd like to come here.
No.
Anyone.
I don't see how anybody can say it's a destination for a quarterback right now when you look at that depth chart. I mean, you have no tight ends. You have grade B, grade C, C minus maybe at best wide receivers, right? I don't see how anybody can say that. Now, if they build and they add people, maybe that's a different issue. I mean, Mike Reese has been talking about this the last couple of days, and we've mentioned that, and that is the Patriots are going to have to find somebody because once you get into free agency, and when's that start? The middle of March or whatever. Aren't you going to have a quarterback here if you want to get a tight end or wide receiver to come to New England? Unless you overpay them. Because I'm sure there's somebody out there that loves money and will sit there and say, Cam Newton, that's fine. How much are they going to pay me? I'll do it. But on the whole, if it's just market value, you're not going to necessarily do it. Governor Baker came out today and announced we are going to let people in the TD Garden. We're going to let people at Fenway Park. We're going to let people at Gillette Stadium. How's it all going to work? And can you actually go to a professional sporting event here real soon? We'll get to all of it coming up next.